All right, brother, Ecclesiastes 12, the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a lot of us, good percentage of us in this little gathering tonight who qualify for this chapter. Actually, we all qualify for it because Solomon is speaking primarily to the young, Let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7, and we'll read to 12 and verse 2. Remember last time, Solomon says, "Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity." Verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man," or young person, "in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." Let's pray. Father, we ask for your help and blessing. Father, we pray that you'd speak to us in this 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Bless your people tonight with your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon, our text, teaches us about old age. He calls these in chapter 11, the end, the dark days, many dark days that come upon many. Some never make it into the advanced years. But he calls the days of age the evil days, which come to all who live many years in this life. Days in which vigor and strength depart. Youth has long departed, and we enter into the days of bodily weakness and failing senses. We don't see as well. We don't hear as well. To those of you who now remember God, who remember God whether you're young or whether you're old, and who love God and serve Him with all of your heart, you will come to your last years in what the Bible calls a good old age. You ever notice that, what God says about a few of the patriarchs? He says of, actually, we'll look at two, and the scripture says, they came to the end of their days, and it was a good old age. A good old age. And what does that mean? And listen, they had weaknesses, they had afflictions. You remember David when he was very old? You remember he couldn't get any heat. Remember that? And they got Abishag, and she got him heat. You remember Isaac when he blessed Jacob and Esau? Remember that Jacob went in and deceived him, and Isaac's sight was so bad that he could not discern whether it were Esau or Jacob. In fact, the sense of touch is what convinced him that it was actually Esau when it was not. It was Jacob. So you remember those times in the scriptures, and we see this. And beloved, there will come times when our bodily senses, we don't think as fast. We slow down, and there'll be weakness and affliction, and our bodies and minds begin to fail and grow weak. But in all of that, if you have remembered your Creator, and if you love Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, I believe with all my heart you'll come to a good old age. Yes, there'll still be the evil days, evil in respect to our physical infirmities, but not spiritually dark days. See, the more our body wears, and it does become a burden, I can tell now that I can't do the things that I used to do. In fact, my wife looks out the window. She said, "I watch you when you're up on the roof," and she's got a plan. Like, I got my phone right here, and when you fall off the roof, I'm calling 911, and I'm going to know what to do. So she told me that the other day. So how about that? But look at Genesis 25. Let's look at dying in a good old age. Genesis 25. This is Abraham. And we'll look at David. And what does that mean, the good old days? And then you'll notice this phrase that Abraham died in the good old age and was gathered unto his people. You ever notice that? It says that they were gathered unto their people. You'll see that in the Old Testament scriptures. They're gathered to their people. What does that mean? You ever thought about that? I'll throw something out there in a second. But look at chapter 25 and verse 7. It says, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, and 175 years, 175. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered unto his people. Now, what does it mean to be of a good old age? Now, he was afflicted, no doubt. Abraham got old, his hearing failed, his sight failed, he got arthritis like all of us will get. But when you come to a good old age, it means he was full of years. He was satisfied with life. He had a good life. He had a good, a happy, and a pleasant life. Even though he came to his elder years, it was a pleasant and spiritually prosperous life. You see, he was ready for eternal life. And as the years of this earthly life began to grow darker and wane, he began to look more full of faith toward that next life, toward eternal life. And that's how we should be. Now you think of the contrast of that, of coming to your elder years with no hope of eternal life. And that's what Solomon talks about in the previous chapter, about being days of darkness. But look at 1 Chronicles, look at David, just two examples. 1 Chronicles 29 speaks of David, King David. 1 Chronicles 29, 27. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 27. I mean, listen, I want you to understand, beloved, you are on a journey through this life. Whether you're lost or saved, this is not the end. If you're a child of God, this is what the Bible calls the days of your pilgrimage. It's your passing through this life. It's your looking to a better country and a heavenly country. And that's what we should be looking for. Look at David. It says, verse 26, thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel, and the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died, there it is again, in a good old age, full of days, a satisfied life, riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now that phrase, gathered unto his people, you'll see that in many accounts of the deaths of some of the kings. To be gathered unto your people, this is what I believe it means. I mean, the body's going to go to the grave. So you're gathered, you go with all of your relatives. Abraham was buried with Sarah in the cave of Machpelah. So he was gathered, his body was gathered there, but his soul, I believe, was gathered with the other saints of the spirits of just men made perfect, gathered to his people, gathered with those whom he frequented, who he fellowshipped with, gathered with the other saints in heaven. And so consider that, beloved. And so coming to a good old age is a good, happy, pleasant, and spiritually prosperous life. But even so, if we enter into the days of old age, as Christians, they will be accompanied with afflictions and weaknesses. We need to be prepared for that. And I don't want this to be a depressing message, but this is just life. Beloved, we need to tell the truth as the scriptures tell them. And listen, as we grow older, our earthly tabernacles start dissolving. That's what, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul talks about the sufferings of this life in 2 Corinthians 4. We won't read the whole chapter, but you can read it. And he talks about being distressed, perplexed, but not in despair. And he talks about the sufferings of being a Christian. And then when you get down to verse 13, verse 15, he says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. In other words, we don't lose heart in this life, in this Christian life. And here's what I want you to see. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man, that is the soul, the higher nature, the part of you that God dwells in. The soul, the inward man, is renewed day by day. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And that's, beloved, how you come to your older years and your aged years with joy and pleasure and satisfied when you look to the Lord and you say, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We have that hope. And so as much as our latter years become full of affliction and we slow down and we can't see as well, we can't hear as well, we don't sleep as well, and Ecclesiastes 12 tells us all that. Beloved, when we come to our elder days, we need to look at not the things that are seen. We don't want a fountain of youth down here. You hear all these doctors and health food people saying, well, we're going to try and make it to where your body will live for 150 years. No, I don't want that. We want to look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. But the things that are not seen are eternal. And then he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that is our body, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And so, beloved, that's what we groan for, the hope of eternal life, and that we will dwell forever without any tears, sorrow, crying, or pain. But to those that refuse to acknowledge God in their lives, who refuse to turn from their sins to Christ, their days of old age will not only be full of bodily afflictions and weaknesses, but darkness and bitterness of soul. It's one thing to be afflicted physically. It's another thing to have no hope spiritually, to have not a hope of eternal life, to have not Christ. And so those, they'll live days of no hope, nothing to look forward to, days in which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. See, that's what Solomon says. And many come to the bitterness of old age. Beloved, that's not the saint. We don't come to old age in bitterness. We come to old age, yes, I got pains, but you know what? I love Christ, and I look forward to being with him in heaven. And so I can take this light affliction, which is but for a moment, which worketh for me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Beloved, that's how we ought to think as Christians. Now, back to the youth, this is why it's so important for us to teach our young people to remember God and to be lovers of God rather than lovers of youthful lust and pleasures in this life. Listen, Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, patience, faith, charity. Follow after the things of God, Paul told Timothy. Listen, youth is a time when we're full of strength. I can remember it. I look back at my youth. It's a time of strength and energy and big ideas. But in a post-Genesis 3 fallen and sinful world, beloved, it's also all too often filled with foolishness and sin. It's filled with bad decisions. And it is often wasted in the world on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now listen, it's tough business telling young people that are full of energy and raring to go and lost because they're going to want to go the wrong way. And one of the struggles of being a parent in this world is teaching and disciplining our children away from sin in love. And listen, if you want to talk about parent faults, come talk to me. I'll tell you, I've made so many faults as a parent, and I wish that I could take back and go and fix those sins of me as a parent or my not parenting the way I should have, I think. But that's one of the struggles of being a parent is disciplining, teaching our children away from sin, away from the vanities of this life and toward God, their creator. We must point them to their creator because, listen, they're naturally bent away from him and they're not going to go towards him. Listen, you have seen, if you're my age or near my age, and I was saved when I was 26. If you're like me, you don't want your children to experience the same sin that you experienced. You know what they don't know. And we need to have wisdom and tell our children what we know and how my sins bring me sorrow to this day. Some of the memories of the things that I did. The psalmist, you remember, he says, "Remember not the sins of my youth," he said, Psalm 25. And so parents, you know what they don't know by experience. You've seen and have in all probability experienced the sorrows and damage of the sins of your youth that you so desperately want to forget and you want them to avoid. And so beloved, you need to pray for them. You need to ask God to help you to teach them those things and to tell them the truth. There's right times and seasons to tell them certain things. But beloved, you need to have those conversations with your children. You need to teach them those things. Listen, the psalmist David, he said, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." And so, beloved, that's a worthy prayer. And if you're like me, you probably think some of those thoughts. In fact, Job 13, I'll just read to you, 13:26, one verse. Job writes, "For thou writest bitter things against me." And this is what Job is saying to God when he was in affliction. He says, "Lord, thou writest bitter things against me and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth." Listen, the problem with sin is it doesn't usually just stop there. There is collateral damage that just continues. It's like dropping a pebble in the water. The ripples just keep on going. And so, beloved, teach your children about the dangers of sin. They don't see the sorrows now. All they see is they want to do it because it feels good. You have to tell them that the feeling doesn't make it to where the sorrow will never come, but there will be sorrow that will come for those lusts and the pride of life. Listen, if you're like me, one of your most ardent desires for your children is that they never repeat your sins. Look at Solomon. Let me show you this. Proverbs chapter 1. Consider this as Solomon speaking to his son. Now, was this Solomon speaking to Rehoboam? I don't know. But listen to the words. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 4. Or let's see, verse 4, he says, he begins the Proverbs of Solomon, but here in verse 4, he says, "To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion." It's what they naturally don't have. "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and destruction." Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, Solomon speaking to his son. Verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse." You see, it's like them saying to your children, "Come, let's go do this wickedness, this sin." And listen, that's out there. Verse 15, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which take away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their knowledge, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now, this is what happens to those that don't heed. Because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all of my counsel, and you would none of my reproof. I also will laugh, God says, at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge. And let me just insert the youth there. And they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. There's probably no better chapter in all of the Word of God to rehearse with your young people. Let me just read you Isaiah 66 and verse 4. The prophet Isaiah here, I won't read the opening part, but he says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath I seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared. I'm sorry, that's chapter 64. I knew that didn't sound right. Verse 4 of chapter 66. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that which I delighted not. And so, beloved, listen, youth is coupled very often with foolishness and sin. And we need to teach our children, our young people. You need to teach, if not your own children, the young people that are in your society, to remember their Creator in the days of thy youth. Listen, the psalmist called upon God in Psalm 25 to remember not the sins of his youth. And the only way that happens, beloved, is to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Listen, Christian, this is where you must witness to. And you remember 1 Corinthians? This is where you must witness to and prophesy to your children. And what do I mean by prophesy? Foretell them what the end's going to be if they continue a life of sin. Every young person needs to know. Every young person with whom you are associated with, those young people that traffic in your society, that you know, your children and others, you need to tell them the true nature of sin. You know it if you're a Christian. You know that sin is destruction. You know it's destructive. It'll ruin your life. You know what happens when we embrace sin, or when they embrace sin. And so you know the true nature of sin, and you can foretell the sorrows of sin that your children, our youth, will experience if they refuse to acknowledge and honor and love God and worship God in their lives. You know how their story will end. They may not listen to you, but don't stop telling them the truth about Christ. If they don't listen, and they don't listen continually, then you keep telling them continually. You love them. You show them Christ and your love for them, and you tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you tell them you know how their story will end if they refuse to acknowledge and remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Listen, there's nothing more important for any and every young person than knowing Christ savingly. Knowing him savingly. Look at 2 Timothy 1. And listen, beloved, we need to pray for this young generation. There's a whole generation of young people out now that are called the nuns. They're called nun. They're none. They're N-O-N. They call themselves neither atheist nor Christian. They're nothing. And there's a society of young people coming out that have absolutely no thoughts of God. Beloved, that's terrible. Listen, we need to pray for the next generation. We need to pray that God would save our young people. Look at 2 Timothy 1:3. Paul says here to young Timothy, I thank my God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that thee in thee also. So we can see that grandmother told mother about Christ, and mother told son about Christ. Beloved, that's what generational Christianity looks like. Now, they don't come to Christ because we say they'll come to Christ, but beloved, we need to put the gospel before them. We need to plant the seeds in their minds. We need to speak the truth to them in love. Paul says to Timothy, from a child you knew the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. So listen, in closing out here, to live your whole life in sin and rebellion against God, and to come to your latter days without any hope of eternal life in heaven, is to come to the last days of life and to say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon speaks, remember thy Creator. And in verse 2 of chapter 12, he says this. He says, remember thy Creator while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after rain. So remember your Creator now while you still can, Solomon's saying, while your understanding is still sharp, while you're still full of strength. Be like the ant, Proverbs 6. Consider her ways, Solomon says, who gathereth up food in the summer that she may have food stored up for the winter. That's a perfect picture of human life, beloved. We need to gather up. We need to harvest the truth of God's word. We need to store it up for the winter time, for the old age of life, which is likened to winter time. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. You can just back up there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Written to the church at Ephesus, I believe. Paul says in verse 17, chapter 6, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Another way of saying that is possessions of uncertainty. That's what money is. That's what gold is. That's what your IRA is. That's what your retirement account is. They're possessions of uncertainty. They will buy you nothing in the heavens. And so Paul says that those that are rich in this world, don't be high-minded because you are. Not sin. It's not a sin to be rich in this world, but don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Better to be a pauper with treasure in heaven than to be a millionaire with no treasure in heaven. Beloved, you don't want to be the latter. Paul goes on to say that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, generous, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Listen, don't delay, brethren, to care for and speak to your children about the gospel of Christ, your lost children. Don't delay to do so, because the days will come when their body, their senses will begin to fail, when the brightness of the sun and the moon and the lights of the heaven will be covered by clouds that will never leave. That's how Solomon styles elder age, when sorrows and darkness of old age are upon you. But Christian, these days of your old age, this season of life, when your body begins to fail, are not without hope. Yes, they may be days of physical pain, but they are not days without hope. As your body fails, you take firmer hold upon the hope of eternal life, which is before you. Physically speaking, old age is identified here as the evil days. They're not sinfully evil. It's just days in which there is affliction. Days in which we will say, I have no pleasure in them. But though we will have no pleasure in the afflictions of our earthly bodies and our earthly lives, decaying away and dissolving, we will still have the hope of eternal life. And we will know beyond the shadow of doubt that there are eternal pleasures waiting for us. And I'll close with Psalm 36 in verse 5. Psalm 36 and verse 5. Beloved, if you're a child of God and you live to the advanced years, you should come to the good old age, full of days, and then be gathered unto your people. Psalm 36, verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are great and deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Of the river of thy pleasures. And that's all the way into the advanced old age. Psalm 92:12 says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That's you, Christian. That's you. So though you get to the days of affliction and pain and waning senses, sight dimmed, hearing going away, arthritis in the joints, it's not the end. We have the hope of eternal life, and we look forward to that. And so, brethren, be encouraged this night. Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, thank you, oh God, that you have revealed yourself to each of us who call upon your name. And Father, we have a home in the heavens, an eternal home in the heavens. And we know that, Father, when we come to the end of this earthly life, and the dust shall return to the earth as it was, we know that our spirits shall return unto God who gave it. And we know that we will be gathered unto the spirits of just men made perfect. And Father, we look forward to eternal life in heaven. We look forward to beholding the face of our Lord Jesus Christ in righteousness. Father, as bad as our bodies may be, and as they dissolve and as they grow weak, Father, it should never darken the light of our eternal hope in heaven. And so we look forward to that. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord, to speak to our young people, to love our children, to tell them about Christ. Because truly, Lord, we do know the end of the story. And we thank you, O God, for revealing it to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.